Section 2, The Remnant Church Not Babylon. The Accuser and His Work. I have been made very sad in reading the pamphlet that has been issued by Brother S. and by those associated with him in the work he has been doing. Without my consent, they have made selections from the testimonies, and have inserted them in the pamphlet they have published, to make it appear that my writings sustain and approve the position they advocate. In doing this, they have done that which is not justice or righteousness. Through taking unwarrantable liberties, they have presented to the people a theory that is of a character to deceive and destroy. In times past, many others have done the same thing, and have made it appear that the testimony sustained positions that were untenable and false. I have had light to the effect that the position taken by Broth S. and his sympathizers is not true, but one of the low, hears and low, tarries that will characterize the days in which we are living. As a sample of the way in which Brother S. has compiled this pamphlet, I will give the following incident. I wrote a private letter to one of our ministers, and in kindness, thinking that it might be a help to Brother S., this brother sent a copy of it to him, but instead of regarding it as a matter for his personal help, he prints portions of it in the pamphlet as an unpublished testimony, to sustain the position he had taken. Is this honorable? There was nothing in the testimony to sustain the position Brother S. holds, but he misapplied it, as many do the scriptures, to the injury of his own soul and the souls of others. God will judge those who take unwarrantable liberties and make use of dishonorable means in order to give character and influence to what they regard as truth. In the use of a private letter sent to another, Brother S. has abused the kindly efforts of one who desired to help him. The parties publishing the pamphlet on the loud cry, and the fall of all the churches, give evidence that the Holy Spirit of God is not working with them. By their fruits ye shall know them. Those who receive the pamphlets advocating these false positions will receive the impression that I sustain these positions, and am united with these workers in proclaiming what they term the new light. I know that their message is mingled with truth, but the truth is misapplied and wrested by its connection with error. I would say to the brother who sent to these men a copy of a letter I had written him, that I have not one thought of censuring you, and no one should cast the least blame upon you concerning the matter. If I should misjudge and censure you, when your motives and intentions were good, I should incur the displeasure of God. If the brother you desired to help has taken liberties, and has betrayed your confidence, do not blame yourself and grieve over the results of his unfaithfulness. Instruction to the disciples. There are matters in the testimonies that are written, not for the world at large, but for the believing children of God, and it is not appropriate to make instruction, warning, reproof, or counsel of this character public to the world. The world's Redeemer, the sent of God, the greatest teacher the children of men ever knew, presented some matters of instruction, not to the world, but to his disciples alone. While he had communications designed for the multitudes that thronged his steps, he also had some special light and instruction to impart to his followers, which he did not impart to the great congregation, as it would neither be understood nor appreciated by them. He sent his disciples forth to preach, and when they returned from their first missionary labor and had various experiences to relate concerning their success in preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, he said unto them, "Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place, and rest a while." In a place of seclusion, Jesus imparted to his followers such instruction, counsel, cautions, and corrections as he saw were needed in their manner of work, but the instruction he then gave them was not to be thrown broadcast to the promiscuous company, for his words were designed for his disciples only. On several occasions when the Lord had wrought works of healing, he charged those whom he had blessed to tell his deed to no one. They ought to have heeded his injunctions and realized that Christ had not lightly required silence on their part, but had a reason for his command, and they should in no wise have disregarded his expressed desire. It ought to have been sufficient for them to know that he desired them to keep their own counsel, and had good reasons for his urgent request. The Lord knew that in healing the sick, in working miracles for the restoring of sight to the blind, and for the cleansing of the leper, he was endangering his own life, For if the priests and rulers would not receive the evidences he gave them of his divine mission, they would misconstrue, falsify, and make charges against him. It is true that he did many miracles openly, yet in some instances he requested that those whom he had blessed should tell no man what he had done for them. When prejudice was aroused, envy and jealousy cherished, and his way hedged up, he left the cities, and went in search of those who would listen to and appreciate the truth he came to impart. The Lord Jesus thought it necessary to make many things clear to his disciples which he did not open to the multitudes. He plainly revealed to them the reason of the hatred manifested toward him by the scribes, Pharisees, and priests, and told them of his suffering, betrayal, and death, but to the world he did not make these matters so plain. He had warnings to give to his followers, and he unfolded to them the sorrowful developments that would take place, and what they were to expect. He gave to his followers precious instruction that even they did not comprehend until after his death, resurrection, and ascension. When the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them, all things were brought to their remembrance, whatsoever he had said unto them. A betrayal of confidence. It was a betrayal of sacred trust to take that which Jesus designed should be kept secret, and publish it to others, and bring upon the cause of truth reproach and injury. The Lord has given to his people appropriate messages of warning, reproof, counsel, and instruction, but it is not appropriate to take these messages out of their connection and place them where they will seem to give force to messages of error. In the pamphlet published by Brother S. and his associates, he accuses the Church of God of being Babylon, and would urge a separation from the Church. This is a work that is neither honorable nor righteous. In compiling this work, they have used my name and writings for the support of that which I disapprove and denounce as error. The people to whom this pamphlet will come will charge the responsibility of this false position upon me, when it is utterly contrary to the teachings of my writings and the light which God has given me. I have no hesitancy in saying that those who are urging on this work are greatly deceived. A false message. For years I have borne my testimony to the effect that when any arise claiming to have great light, and yet advocating the tearing down of that which the Lord through his human agents has been building up, they are greatly deceived, and are not working along the lines where Christ is working. Those who assert that the Seventh-day Adventist churches constitute Babylon, or any part of Babylon, might better stay at home. Let them stop and consider what is the message to be proclaimed at this time. In place of working with divine agencies to prepare a people to stand in the day of the Lord, they have taken their stand with him who is an accuser of the brethren, who accuses them before God day and night. Satanic agencies have been moved from beneath, and they have inspired men to unite in a confederacy of evil, that they may perplex, harass, and cause the people of God great distress. The whole world is to be stirred with enmity against Seventh-day Adventists, because they will not yield homage to the papacy, by honoring Sunday, the institution of this anti-Christian power. It is the purpose of Satan to cause them to be blotted from the earth, in order that his supremacy of the world may not be disputed. Satan's accusations. The scene of Satan's accusation was presented before the prophet. He says, "He showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him." Jesus is our great high priest in heaven. And what is he doing? He is making intercession and atonement for his people who believe in him. Through his imputed righteousness, they are accepted of God as those who are manifesting to the world that they acknowledge allegiance to God, keeping all his commandments. Satan is full of malignant hatred against them, and manifests to them the same spirit that he manifested to Jesus Christ when he was upon earth. When Jesus was before Pilate, the Roman ruler sought to release him, and desired that the people should choose to release Jesus from the ordeal through which he was about to pass. He presented before the clamoring multitude the Son of God and the criminal Barabbas, and inquired, "Whom will ye that I release unto you? Barabbas, or Jesus which is called Christ?" They said, "Barabbas." Pilate saith unto them, "What shall I do then with Jesus which is called Christ?" They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. The world was stirred by the enmity of Satan, and when asked to choose between the Son of God and the criminal Barabbas, they chose a robber rather than Jesus. The ignorant multitudes were led, by the deceptive reasonings of those in high position, to reject the Son of God, and choose a robber and murderer in his stead. Let us all remember that we are still in a world where Jesus, the Son of God, was rejected and crucified, where the guilt of despising Christ and preferring a robber rather than the spotless Lamb of God still rests. Unless we individually repent toward God because of transgression of His law, and exercise faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, whom the world has rejected, we shall lie under the full condemnation that the action of choosing Barabbas instead of Christ merited. The whole world stands charged today with the deliberate rejection and murder of the Son of God. The Word bears record that Jews and Gentiles, kings, governors, ministers, priests, and people all classes and sects who reveal the same spirit of envy, hatred, prejudice, and unbelief manifested by those who put to death the Son of God would act the same part, were the opportunity granted, as did the Jews and people of the time of Christ. They would be partakers of the same spirit that demanded the death of the Son of God. In the scene representing the work of Christ for us, and the determined accusation of Satan against us, Joshua stands as the high priest, and makes request in behalf of God's commandment-keeping people. At the same time, Satan represents the people of God as great sinners, and presents before God the list of sins he has tempted them to commit through their lifetime, and urges that because of their transgressions, they be given into his hands to destroy. He urges that they should not be protected by ministering angels against the confederacy of evil. He is full of anger because he cannot bind the people of God into bundles with the world, to render to him complete allegiance. Kings and rulers and governors have placed upon themselves the brand of Antichrist, and are represented as the dragon who goes to make war with the saints with those who keep the commandments of God and who have the faith of Jesus. In their enmity against the people of God, they show themselves guilty also of the choice of Barabbas instead of Christ. The world called to account. God has a controversy with the world. When the judgment shall sit, and the book shall be opened, he has an awful account to settle, which would now make the world fear and tremble were men not blinded and bewitched by satanic delusions and deceptions. God will call the world to account for the death of his only begotten Son, whom to all intents and purposes the world has crucified afresh, and put to open shame in the persecution of his people. The world has rejected Christ in the person of his saints, has refused his messages in the refusal of the messages of prophets, apostles, and messengers. They have rejected those who have been collaborators with Christ, and for this they will have to render an account. The accuser rebuked. Satan stands at the head of all the accusers of the brethren, but when he presents the sins of the people of God, what does the Lord answer? He says, The Lord rebuke, not Joshua, who is a representative of the tried and chosen people of God, but thee, zero Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee, is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments, and stood before the angel. Satan had represented the chosen and loyal people of God as being full of defilement and sin. He could depict the particular sins of which they had been guilty. Had he not set the whole confederacy of evil at work to lead them, through his seductive arts, into these very sins? But they had repented, they had accepted the righteousness of Christ. They were therefore standing before God clothed with the garments of Christ's righteousness, and he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, Take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. Every sin of which they had been guilty was forgiven, and they stood before God as chosen and true, as innocent, as perfect, as though they had never sinned. The encouraging word. And I said, Let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they, the angels of God, set a fair mitre upon his head, and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by, Jesus their Redeemer. And the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, If thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house, and shalt also keep my courts, and I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by. I wish that all who claim to believe present truth would think seriously of the wonderful things presented in this chapter. However weak and compassed with infirmity the people of God may be, those who turn from disloyalty to God in this wicked and perverse generation, and come back to their allegiance, standing to vindicate the holy law of God, making up the breach made by the man of sin under the direction of Satan, will be accounted the children of God, and through the righteousness of Christ will stand perfect before God. Truth will not always lie in the dust to be trampled underfoot of men. It will be magnified and made honorable, it will yet arise and shine forth in all its natural luster, and will stand fast forever and ever. Review and Herald, August 22, 29, 1893. Reprinted in Testimonies to Ministers, pages 32-41.